This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Welcome to this audio introduction to Ballet Shoes by Noel Stretfield, in a new version by Kendall Fever. It's directed by Katie Rudd. The play runs for approximately 2 hours and 40 minutes, including a 20-minute interval. In a crumbling house full of dinosaur bones and fossils, three adopted sisters, Pauline, Petrova and Posy, are learning who they are and what they want to be. Under the watchful eyes and guidance of their guardian, Sylvia, Nana and some unlikely lodgers, they fight to pursue their individual passions. But in a world that wasn't built for women, with big ambitions, can they forge a future, keep their family together and even learn a dance or two along the way?
And now I'm brighter than the sun, I'm just in love with everyone. I've found a world.
That was part of the introductory notes for Ballet Shoes, delivered by Eleanor Stollery, a young visually impaired actress, voiceover artist, and not forgetting audio describer too, just before the start of the school's performance of Ballet Shoes at the National Theatre's Olivier Theatre, with Eleanor delivering the live audio description for young visually impaired school children who were in the audience too. The Olivier Theatre was packed with 1,000 school children from many primary schools within Greater London, including a large number of visually impaired children who maybe were experiencing their first audio-described theatre performance and pre-show touch tour too. In the lead-up to the school's performance of Ballet Shoes, the National Theatre also went out to every primary school to deliver workshops, not only about the story of Ballet Shoes, but also to show children how a production like Ballet Shoes comes to life on the National Theatre's Olivier stage. Later, I'll be catching up with Eleanor to find out how it all went for her delivering the live audio description for Ballet Shoes. But do join me now as I explore some of the props for Ballet Shoes, which were on display during the touch tour for the young visually impaired children prior to the school's performance of Ballet Shoes with Eleanor's live audio description. We're at the touch tour and Abby's in front of me. And Abby, you've got, I think, some props and stuff that you've been showing the children. Could you just sort of explain what's on show here?
Absolutely. So in Ballet Shoes, Great Uncle Matthew has all sorts of fossils and gems and items that he collects on his travels. And here we've got some of the things that he collects on his journey and also some things that are important to the girls in Ballet Shoes as well, and all their various interests. So the first thing that we've got is a brilliant dinosaur skull that is embedded in rock. And so what's amazing here is that you can feel the teeth, you can feel the eye socket, and the very clever people in the props department have had to make something that looks real to an audience and feels real if you're touching it, but actually isn't real bone, because obviously that would be too heavy. But also, actors might not like being on stage the real dinosaur skull, and the Natural History Museum might have something to say about it as well.
And I think that's the great thing about, on a touch tour, being able to explore a prop that's going to be very important in a show. So when you're listening, when the children are listening to Eleanor's audio description, they will know exactly when she's talking about a skull because they've experienced it and handled it. Can I have a quick feel?
Absolutely, go for it.
Okay, so it's down here.
Got some rock there, and then you're just in the eye socket there.
Oh, clearly
you'd be good in a fight because you've gone straight for the eye socket. And then just slightly further down on your right now, you've got these teeth.
Oh, gosh.
Which you can feel someone's had to craft each individual tooth there.
Good Lord.
And make it fit. And obviously they're not very sharp, but you can imagine if that's how it would feel after thousands of years in bone. They're just on the jaw socket there. And they've even done, if you go slightly further to the left.
So okay, moving over to the left, yep.
And then slide down. They've got the hole where it would have gone into the neck if it was a real bone.
Oh my God.
And so there it's connected, almost as if we could have a real whole dinosaur skull felted on stage.
That's incredible. And what other props have we got here?
Oh, we've got all sorts of other props for people to have a look at. Here, I have got a brilliant model aeroplane. So the girls will get their own interests. So there's Posy, who's really interested in ballet. Obviously, and that's where the show gets its name. There is Pauline, who loves theatre. And there is Petrova, who loves cars, mechanics. planes, all those sorts of things. And so she has this model plane which she uses. And what I love about this, even though it's on stage for such a short time, you can feel the wheels which make it move, the propeller at the front actually spins. And so it's so brilliantly tactile to be able to feel that. And even though it's not necessarily doing that on stage, knowing that it's got the capability to do it. So feel free to give it a feel.
Yes.
Would you like it held up? Would you like it?
Oh, wow. Oh my God, it's like a biplane.
Yeah, it's just a model biplane, almost like a children's toy, but in this case it's one of a kind model that someone's made.
It's lovely
and it's got these beautiful bright colours, the bright yellow, the bright orange, sort of show up beautifully on stage as well.
And is there a particular sort of scene where this comes to life or something like that?
Absolutely. So Petrova is playing with this. At a point earlier to start showing her interest in planes, and then as you see her interest grow, she moves from playing with these sort of wood models to later on, some of the children are playing with these at the moment, actual screwdrivers, actual carabiners, and almost the more metal that you would expect, leading ultimately to, no spoilers, but her having the opportunity to play on a much bigger scale with the areas she's interested in.
Wow, it's exciting. We'll wait for that happen actually in the performance. That sounds amazing. Abby, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. Enjoy the show.
The space is filled with school children in green gingham dresses and straw hats. Out in the playground, one skips, another dances, trailing blue ribbons through the air. Petrova, now 12, flies a model plane. A girl snatches it and breaks it. Petrova shows the broken plane to her sister, Pauline. Pauline strides over to the offending pupil and punches her. The girl falls in slow motion and Pauline hits out at other pupils, one right in the gut. The head teacher marches out.
Pauline Fossil! Petrova Fossil! Posy Fossil! In my office!
So Andrew Holland, who's one of the describers who's been working with Eleanor on her audio description script and delivery. Andrew, you're obviously involved in the touch tour as well. And what have you got in front of me?
I have a mountain goat. It's a mountain goat with a little handle on the back of its head so that I can manipulate the head. So it's got a nose and a very, very shaggy fringe. But if we lift up the fringe, and the fringe is, it's made of sort of coiled wool, a bit like a mop. And we lift up the fringe, it's got very bright blue, piercing blue glass eyes. But the whole of the body, rounded body, is covered in this very mop-like fabric material. And two gnarled and curly pointed horns. And it appears towards the beginning of the play when Uncle Matthew goes on one of his many expeditions. He's climbing a mountain and this mountain goat is at the top doing no good.
The steep wooden steps move forward, a mountain goat on top. Halfway up, Gum holds onto a rope.
After a year spent excavating a herd of woolly mammoths from the bottom of a glacial ravine, you'll be pleased to know I'm on my way home. P.S. Don't be alarmed, but on the last day of work, I was involved in a small abseiling accident.
The goat chews through the rope. He falls backwards off the slope. He lands on a bed.
Which required the removal of two fingers.
Nurses pluck off two of his fingers and saw off the lower half of his right leg. They fix on a false leg.
Off a leg.
Now, are you ready to learn the most important position in ballet?
Oh, I'm ready.
So, what we're going to do is we're going to stand up nice and tall and imagine that we're balancing something really heavy on the top of the head and we have to keep it there.
Tiptoes.
We're not going on tiptoes yet?
No, not yet.
So what we're going to do is our two heels, we're going to imagine we've got glue on our two heels and we're going to stick them together. We're going to point our toes out to the side. That's it. And now stretch the knees. That's really good, everyone. Really, really nice.
Yeah.
Really, really good. So this is called first position. Really, really nice first positions. You stretch those knees up. That's really, really good. Yes. Really nice, everyone. This is the first position that we learn in ballet, and it's called first position. And now you're already doing it. Really, really good. We're going to bend the knees. And we're going to stretch. That's it. So just bend the knees and stretch. Really good, everyone. We bend the knees. Really good. This is called a plié. This is a step we do in ballet all the time, and it's a step that the dancers will be doing this afternoon. Okay, does anyone know what it's called in ballet when we turn? Might be a word that you've heard, but might not know exactly what it means. Have you heard the word pirouette? Yes. So when we spin or turn in ballet, that's called a pirouette. So it's another thing I want you to listen out for in the performance this afternoon. Pirouette. Really, really important step in ballet. Really exciting to get spin. Okay, we're going to do one more thing. At the end of a performance or at the end of a class or any kind of activity, what do we do? You do what? Pirouette, yes? We do a pirouette, and then what do? Spin. We need to warm down, and we need to say thank you to those around us. So you're going to say thank you to each other, to your teachers. So what we're going to do is we're just going to stand up nice and tall, like we did earlier, and all you're going to do is bow the head forward. So just drop the head and stand up. So we call that a reverence. And come back up.
Come back up.
There's a special word for that as well, it's called reverence. So listen out for that one on the show. Okay, thank you very much, you've done amazing. Really, really well done. Thank you, well done, enjoy the performance.
We've just had the touch tour of Ballet Shoes, and I'm with a few young people who've not only attended the workshop prior to today's audio described performance and touch tour, but they're going to give me a little bit of experience as to how they found the workshops and touch tours. Would you like to introduce yourselves and say which school you're from?
My name is Anaya and I'm from Chantry School.
My name is Mariam and I'm from Chantry.
My name is Susanna and I'm from Chantry Primary Academy.
My name is Mira, my school's Westbrook Primary School.
Okay, well, if you all, I think, had a workshop prior to the touch tour and audio described performance today, could you just all maybe in turn tell me a little bit about the workshop and maybe one thing that you found really exciting and enjoyable from the workshop?
I found exciting was the sheep where I had to like move its head.
Cool, excellent.
I mean, the goat hit me, sorry, the goat.
I like the bone.
I liked the fluffy chicken. It was so cute. The this exciting thing about it was when I saw it.
And I suppose getting to feel it and be able to explore it through touch is so good, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, because it gives you a real sense of what things are like when you can explore.
Yeah, because some people, like, for example, if some people are blind because and they can't see, they have, like, a visual impairment, so they can just feel things like it, like the fluffy chicken or something.
Yeah, and then if you've got a little bit of sight, you can see a little bit as well, but it's just nice to be able to touch things, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did anybody do the sort of ballet? Did anyone have a go at a bit of ballet just now and join the touch tour?
Yeah.
Tell me what that was like.
I was saying the ballet, I really liked it because they taught us like the names and the how to do the moves. And yeah. I found that really interesting.
I think that's really good, isn't it, to find out what the moves are and then to go through them so that you know what that move's like when somebody's talking about it. So when Eleanor's giving her description and also during the show this afternoon, when you hear those moves, you know what they're like.
So in the ballet, the thing that I found interesting was all of the moves that we did, and one of my favourite was the pirouette.
And obviously Eleanor's going to be delivering the audio description this afternoon, and I think some of you may have met her on the touch tour or heard her voice, and it's fantastic to have her. She's another young visually impaired person, and to hear her delivering the audio description is really good, isn't it?
So I think that it's good for Eleanor to audio describe because, like, for example, if there's something on stage and we can't see it, we can basically imagine what is going on. Yeah, it's also good to have her describe because she might use like more like the words that we know and not like harder words that other older people might know.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I think it's so nice to have that, the same language, the same words, I think is so good. Well, do enjoy the show this afternoon and thank you so much indeed for chatting with me. Thank you so much indeed. Thank you.
Thank you.
after chatting with the young visually impaired children about the workshop's touch tour and that ballet lesson, I caught up with Ellera Wakely, head of schools engagement at the National Theatre, and I began by asking Ellera why the National Theatre wanted to put on a school's performance of Ballet Shoes with audio description for young visually impaired children, along with the workshops in the schools prior to the performance.
Well, at the National Theatre, one of our missions is to make sure that every child in the UK gets the opportunity to experience their National Theatre before they leave school. And we really mean every child. So we've given ourselves quite a job there. But it makes such a difference when we can have a school's matinee and bring children in to see a live performance that's really going to spark their imaginations and show them the world of the theatre. Being able to do an audio-described performance gives us that extra opportunity to get to those children who might not usually have access to a show like Ballet Shoes at the National Theatre. The workshops we put in to make sure that they're as prepared as possible for what they're going to experience. And we really thought about what Ballet Shoes brings and the themes that come through in Ballet Shoes. And so much of it is about that world of performance and all of the things that you can do in your life. So the workshops were really focused around all of the creative roles and technical roles that it takes to put together a theatre show. So every child who's coming to the theatre today, and we've got an absolutely packed Olivier, a thousand people in there, will have had a visit from the National Theatre in their school.
And that's fantastic. And it's fantastic for young visually impaired people to have that workshop to get an idea of the creative process of how a theatre show is put on, but also to come to the touch tour and the audio described performance today. And it's also fantastic to have Eleanor, who's a young visually impaired actress, among other things, to be delivering the audio description. And she's been delivering the audio description for the other performances of Ballet Shoes. And this is not her first time. She did The Witches before. Why did the National want to work with Eleanor, and what's that sort of process been like?
I mean, we are so lucky to have Eleanor working with us. And I think we think of Eleanor as we do with all of the professionals that work at the National. They are fantastic at what they do. They're passionate about what they do. And Eleanor has been such a joy to work with. And it's so nice that she's come back, having done The Witches with us last year, now come back as a very professional 13-year-old. No one can believe that how much she's done in such a short space of time. But to come and work with the team, she really understands how we do things. People know her. And obviously, when we're doing a school's performance, there is something really nice for those young people to see another young person excelling and doing such an amazing job. It's aspirational for them. It's fun. She makes it really fun. We just had three of our students come and meet her, and they were so excited because they came to The Witches last year. They know about Eleanor, so they were really excited to meet her. So we're delighted to work with her.
And what other opportunities are there within the National Theatre, within the education programme for other young, blind and partially sighted people to get involved in other productions and other things that are happening here at BNT?
Well, we try and ensure that all of our work is accessible to all young people. So we run a number of different programmes. We have our Young People's Programme, which is participatory workshops that people can come and do here at the National Theatre. We have our Skills Centre, where people can learn more about the technical and craft skills that it takes to come and work in theatre. We have our Schools Programme, and we have a lot of resources for teachers and young people to use within school. And of course, the visits to our shows, not just in the South Bank here, but across the UK with our national touring shows.
Yeah, because there's a great lot of work that the National Theatre is taking theatre to schools and taking theatre around the country as well. And there's also sort of youth programmes and writing programmes. Is that something that young visually impaired people can get involved in as well?
Absolutely. We've got our long-running Connections programme, which is celebrating its 30th birthday this year, which is putting on plays with youth groups and schools across the UK. It's an extraordinary programme, and of course visually impaired students are taking part in that. And then we have New Views, which is our writing programme about writing new theatre. And we've had some extraordinary plays come through by young people. Young people have a lot to say. Visually impaired young people have a lot to say. We really enjoy having them involved in both of those programmes.
Ellora, thank you very much indeed. That's lovely. Thank you.
It's really nice to meet you, Toby. Thanks so much.
They all gather together, arms raised. They stand and bow as one group. Thank you for listening. Have a safe journey home.
Well, we've just had the end of the audio described performance of Ballet Shoes, and I'm catching it up with Eleanor Stollery, who's the young visually impaired audio describer for today. Eleanor, you must feel pretty proud and maybe a little bit exhausted now it's over.
Yes, I am. I'm buzzing. I'm like still full of adrenaline from the end of the show. But in a minute, I will be fast asleep because it is a lot of hard work, but it's amazing. I love doing it. It's great.
And this is obviously not your first audio described delivery here at the National Theatre. You did The Witches before. And I wondered, have you changed anything or adapted anything in the way that you're delivering your audio description script for the Ballet Shoes compared to The Witches?
Well, this year we had a few sound prompts. So halfway through lines, because there wasn't really enough time for me to get prompted by the sighted audio describer that helps me, I would have a sound prompt like buzz or pop, and I know just to wait for that sound and then I can say the rest, the other half of the line. So that's something we've changed, and we've also used sort of asterisk symbols in front of some of the lines just so that I know that they are coming quite fast, they're quite close together, those prompts.
And are you still using sort of, I suppose, printed braille?
Yes, still printed braille. I prefer printed braille because it has to be almost dead quiet in the booth. So if I had an electronic braille device, you know, they aren't exactly silent. So printed braille is a lot easier to use when you're, and also just, I can read a lot faster when I don't have to click down to next lines or anything.
Yeah, I think that's the thing of having proper printed braille in front of you. And this performance, I mean, it's a fantastic show. There's lots going on. There's a bit of comedy. There's obviously lots of dancing. How did you sort of approach that sort of comedy and dancing description?
Well, I can kind of feed off what the actors are doing in the comedy parts or sort of their mood. And the dancing, because there isn't any singing, I can work to just the cues that I'm getting from the audio describer without having to worry about speaking over anyone, which is quite good because then I can just take it easy.
And it was great today. We had, I think, 1,000 young people in the Olivier Theatre today, and obviously a lot of visually impaired people who were listening not only to your audio description, but were there for the Touch Tour as well, and met you on the Touch Tour. And it's fantastic that the National Theatre is doing this, isn't it?
It's amazing. I mean, I know how much audio description means, and I really love bringing that to other children like me.
I think that's the thing. And I think for some of them, it's maybe their first experience of coming to a theatre. So that's really good. And getting people, visually impaired young people, into the theatre and experiencing theatre with audio description and then be able to share that is just amazing.
Yeah, it is. I saw a couple of girls that listened to me last year and they were here again. And that was really nice to hear from them as well.
Yeah, and I think also they had workshops as well prior to today as well. So they've understanding a lot about how theatre is created. And you've obviously Ballet Shoes, you're going to have a bit of a rest possibly now. what's next for you, Eleanor? Because I know you act, you do voiceover work and obviously audio description. So what's next?
I haven't got anything coming up yet, but I'd love to work with the National Theatre again. That would be amazing.
And I suppose the last thing, I mean, what would you say to other young visually impaired people who, you know, like haven't had the experience of today coming to the National Theatre to get them into coming to theatre and experiencing described theatre and sharing that experience?
I mean, whatever your sort of preferences are on what you like to watch, theatre is amazing and audio description can bring that to you if you want it to. It's there. It's available. It might not be out there as much as we like, but it is available.
Well, Eleanor, thank you so much indeed for chatting with me again. And your audio description today was absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
To find out more about the National Theatre's programme, opportunities and resources for primary, secondary, further education or at SEND, SEMH schools, do email letsplay@nationaltheatre.org.uk or visit nationaltheatre.org.uk/learn-explore/schools. And for more about access at the National Theatre, including details of audio described performances, do visit nationaltheatre.org.uk/your-visit/access.